Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:42 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmad Parak, Councillor Ahmad Parak. And Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners all over the world, all over South Africa. Shafat, alhamdulillah. It's a slight drizzle this morning with a little bit of rain coming through. But this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the rain as well. Now summer is in. Alhamdulillah, Shafat. Allah has blessed us with another fine day today, Shafat.
Lovely, fine day, fine rain, and everything just fine. And I'm looking forward to a chat with you. Let's start off with our segment with the Kafan Dafan. Now, what's the latest? What's the highlights, Ahmad?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, you know, we're fortunate that this only last week, Sunday, the week today, that one of our brothers, Abu Bakr, he took his family and they had a reunion at the in the North Coast. They had a reunion and he got washed. He didn't get washed away, actually. He went to save his daughter in a paddle pool, in a tidal pool. And while doing that, the wave came and he knocked himself in the rock. And our late Abu Bakr had to leave this dunya. And we managed to do the post-mortem that very same evening. And he was buried on Monday this week, Monday at about Fajr, immediately after Fajr. You know, we make dua that Allah make it easy for his family and his children as well, Shabbat.
I mean, you know, Ahmad, we noticed that even, I think, down the south coast, near Harding side or somewhere, there's some, young brothers that passed away. Allah filled the cupboard with nur. And, you know, it was the same thing, you know, respecting the ocean. How often do you get called out and, you know, may it's from drowning? And how different is it to a normal ghusl that you give to an ordinary mayit? Talk to us about that phenomena, Ahmad.
Normally, if it's the sea water, when a person is drowned in the sea water, it stays there for 2-3 days before his body is being washed out. His top layer of skin is always taken out. You'll see the whole body is like white. In a case like that, then you do the sunnah ghusl only, and in some cases, you still can do the full ghusl. So in a case like that, even in a third-degree burn, when the building is caught on fire, so, you know, the ruling is you just give a sunnah 3 times, you put the water and then you put your kafan and you can bury the deceased as quick as possible. So these things that we find on a regular basis, but mainly in summer when, you know, now is the season is in, people go a lot to the beaches and some of them go to these tidal pools and all that. But these tidal pools are a little bit dangerous because you never know when the wave is going to come and pull you or what happens like that. And especially if it's a mid tide and all, you know more than I do because I'm not a fisherman. But, you know, you have to follow all these things because, you know, you get the water that in the, and also we must take into account the sea level has been rising on an average annually basis from the statistics that what I'm reading through. It's about 1.5 meters per year that is the sea level is rising. So obviously there must be something in it. Allah knows best, Shafat.
Yeah, a good point you make. You talk about the spring tide. All of a sudden, the fisherman is on the rock and he's no more there. Yeah, the big tide came and took him away. So respect the ocean when it's in the motion. And, you know, Ahmad, you talk about, many people passing away in different conditions. And there's a message on the screen, and it's from Fayez. Fayez says, Assalamu alaikum, Councillor Ahmad Parak, you are one of the best and a man of truth. You walk the talk. Jazakallah khair for that. And he says, I want to know, there are so many Muslim old people in our non-Muslim homes. How do we get to know that these Muslims have passed on? Do we have a watch movement that goes and check out who's who in these non-Muslim homes? Now, that's a very good question, Ahmad.
Firstly, I must compliment the brother for giving me some praises. you know, I only do whatever I do only is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shafat, number one, it's a very, very valid question that, you know, if you go to all the tractor homes and if you go to ABH and all that, there is Muslim in these homes. And in the last 6 to 8 months, you'll find in Durban and surrounding there's about 6 Muslim homes have been formed. Personally speaking, Shafat, I don't recommend people putting up this home. After taking consulting with all the alims and various school of thought as well regarding old age home, he says, you know what, in terms of the Quran, it's not jais, it's not permissible, but the time has come if these children are putting their dumping, and let me put it, rephrase it, they are actually dumping their parents in these old age home. Then there is a problem. You rather get your own old age home and put them there, we'll be better off. I can tell you a lot of stories regarding, you know, in my last 30 years, we had a person in ABH home, and the person passed away. We they were eating haram food. And ABH home is a non-Muslim home. If you take all the chapter homes, it's a non-Muslim home. The brother's question is correct. He wants to know what happens in a case if he's a Muslim in this non-Muslim home. When you do the application, it is marked there Muslim. So obviously they will go and call a Muslim undertaker to come and take the body. One of our burial societies will go there and take the body. But after seeing all what happened, I was the very first in bringing it to at the late Ibrahim Musa, the late Yusuf Timol, to form these homes and to get these people out of these non-Muslim homes. And that's how you got the Baitul Hifazat, Baitul, and the one in Reynolds Road, they got the homes. That is the reason they had to put up these homes. But the good thing came out when Egypt, the late Yusuf Timol, Allah give him Jannat, and Ibrahim Musa, who was the chairman of Darul Yatama at that time, they were a little bit reluctant, but then we had to tell them that if the people are eating haram food in these non-Muslim homes, they have to do something about it. And Darul Yatama is one of an organization, they're supposed to be taking care of the Muslim. So after much consultation, they went and formed these, they bought one property and in Randall's Road, and they brought these people away from these non-Muslim homes and to bring them there. But the problem that they were faced with, some of them had husband and wife, so they had a problem. What do they do? Because you can't keep the husband and wife in a home. We don't have that type of facility. So they had to get another home for the females only, because you had a lot of single females as well in these homes. So they had to restructure themselves. Today they got two, alhamdulillah, they got two homes. But the good thing came out, some of these people that were in this non-Muslim home, we didn't know about it, and the families didn't know about it. Then their immediate family came to know that, you know what, my cousin is there, my uncle's family is there, my late father's family is there. What they did is they brought about 6-7 people together. They said, oh, each of us will put 500 rand a month. Let's get a flat, put them there, and then we will try, and, as a family, we'll try and support them. That good came out of it. But even taking them and putting them and getting the funding to look after them in the flats or wherever you're putting them, you have to make sure that you look after them in terms of the medication and everything else. Now, some of these people are single parents, are in homes, in flats and all that. The son has put them into a flat. But he doesn't take care of it. I know one incident. The son is living on the fourth floor. The mother is living on the second floor. But I don't even think the son goes and look after his mother on a week to week or a day to day basis, just to, you know, go and see if the mother needs medication, needs food or anything like that. After 3 days, we broke the door on the second floor where the mother was living, yet the son is on the fourth floor. These are the things that you face with. There was one person in ABH home. Now, this person here, he was a millionaire, Shafat. Listen to this story very, very carefully for all our listeners that one person, he had two sons, and his sons one day told his father, you know what, Papa, we're taking you for a drive. They packed his bag and everything, and they went and left him at the ABH home. The father asked the two sons, you are leaving me here, why? He said, no, Papa, this is an old age home. It'll be better suited for you, so you'll get, you know, you're too lonely at home, and it will make it easier for you. You'll have friends and all that. Shafat, they went and dumped him in an old age home. When that person, I went and visited him on to pick up a mayat in that home, the father told me, I said, Bhai Sahab, what are you doing here? He said, Bhai Sahab, main terko bolu kya mera halat hai. Mera paas sab tha, ghar, chandi, sona, yet, gold, silver, dukan, car, everything. He told me in Urdu, he says, I had everything. My two sons came and left me here. I maybe see them sometime in Eid or the Bakrid, if they feel like to come and see me. This is what is our halat today. This is the problem that we are faced with today, that they just take the parents and they put them in their homes, and there was one person, one lady in the beachfront. She can't see, Shafat. You know, you get Monday to Sunday, your medication blocks are there, Monday to Sunday, what you have to take. The son comes and put it, by mistake, she maybe took 3 days and, you know, couldn't see, take 3 days medication, thinking that that one day, and she overdosed herself. And this is what happens, Shabbat. This is, you know, I can give a whole good thing. You need at least hour and a half, 2 hours with me if I have to give you the full history of what is happening in terms of old age home, Shabbat.
You know, absolutely, mashallah, Allah bless you for sharing, you know, part of your history with us, Ahmed, and, you know, things that is a very important thing to discuss with the Ummah. Another message coming through here, and it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq. I know you well, but I want you to tell the people the type of activities that take place in these non-Muslim homes, and our Muslims are forced to partake of these activities, otherwise they are even reprimanded. It is also believed that some of the Muslims have been abused in these old age homes. How true is this, Ahmed? Only you know, and a few others know. Please talk to us about it. Ahmed, this person knows you, but he says perhaps these things have been happening. How true is this, Ahmed?
So, but time to time you have this thing here. In the morning, you will get a pastor coming there, and you are compelled, because this is a non-Muslim home. You got no option. You have to do what they tell you. End of the day, you need them more than they need you. So this is the problem that we're faced with. And then he will come and give you his sermons from the Bible and everything, and you just have to sit and listen. End of the day, you got no option. In some of these homes, this is one of the prerequisites that you have to do. And then, you know what, they're not going to tell you, you know what, for you, you are Muslim, there's your pots and all are separate and all that. Mama is, who is cooking there, she's not worried about who it is. She's cooking for, if there's 40 in that old age home, she's cooking food for the 40 people. And you know where the meat comes from, where the chicken comes from, only Allah knows best too. And lots of time we have found out that they buying the meat and the chicken and all, it was not halal. So end of the day, you know what, we can only bring it to the attention of the home, the owners of the home, telling them that these are Muslim, this is what we have to do and all that. You know, some of them will take heed of it, but as soon as you've gone out there, the person that is in the kitchen, she is not worried one bit, Shafat, whether you got no time to separate for the 5 Muslim people and there are 35 non-Muslim people or anything like that, Shabbat. This is the problem that we are facing.
Yeah, and you talk about Paki Safi. I mean, we as Muslims, we have a whole health law. I mean, our cleanliness is next to godliness. In the house of Islam, we can't live without water. What about all these facilities of keeping clean, ablution facilities and so forth? I mean, they may be heavily compromised as Muslims, Ahmed.
There is this problem that we are faced with in the homes. You know, normally what they do is they give them a jug or something like that. Now, if she's a frail woman, she's battling to barely walk, well, how can she even pick up that jug to put the water and all that. So this is the problem that we also have to take into account. And you know what? You can only do so much. What we need is the family member. Somebody need to take care of it, knowing that, you know what, so-and-so is in that home. Make sure one of our organization must be set up to only look after the homes now. You know, with all the homes that are springing up at the moment, it is unbelievable. You know, I don't understand. You know what, the sad part of this whole thing, you know, the Quran makes it very, very clear that you cannot tell your parents, oof, but you can take your parents and go and dump them in the old age home. What are we doing about it? What are the communities doing about it? What are the alims are doing about it? Why don't we take one Friday in all our masjid, only talk about the parents, and that will bring something back to the community, and they can take that message and say, you know what, let us look after our mothers, let us look after our fathers. This is the thing, we have to do something like that. You know, you don't have parents like me, Shafat, and today we cry to say, you know, if we only had our parents, and the people that got parents, they don't know how to make qadr of the parents. That's the problem.
Gee, it says, jo maa ka dil dukhayega, wo jahannam mein jayega. I mean, that's a factor. You know, you hurt the feelings of your mother and you break their heart, you're going to go to Jahannam. We have about 30 seconds to go before the news, Ahmed. And tell me, you know, have you ever confronted anyone that put their mothers and fathers in old age home? Did you confront them, Ahmed?
Shafat, I didn't confront one. I confronted in the last 30 years of the Dafan Kafan work of mine, Shafat. I confronted maybe about 30 to 40 of them, and I went personally to them. I said to them, I said, you know, I never come to fight with you. I have come to give you some nasihat that, you know what you are doing, this is wrong. Look at the Quran, see where the Quran, read the Quran, go to an alim, understand the Quran, what he says about it. You know what? The people that who have got parents and they are taking dua from them today and see how successful they are, and the ones that putting the parents in these old age homes and everything, and see their halat, and you'll see the difference between the two people, that the ones that take care of their parents and take the duas of the parents, how successful they are in this. They will be successful in this dunya and akhirah as well, Shafa.
Yes, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to always Mijaki for a comprehensive news. Ahmed Paraki, you've been listening very intently. What caught your ears?
Shafa, 20 million people from World War II, the United States, you know what they did to our people all over the world, what they went and did in Afghanistan, what they did in Iraq, what they did all over the world. This is the way of doing things, Shafat, in 20 million people. And you know what, if you analyze this whole thing, Shafat, you will see from the 20 million, might be about 16, 17 million might be only Muslim from our Muslim countries, Shafat. That's one. The second one, Japan, the flood and the typhoon that, you know, they had to evacuate 2 million people. And then the very, very interesting one, our 500 million is going to be spent in Saudi to put up, for what? To put up bottle stores, put up restaurants where they will be selling liquor. At one stage, you couldn't even touch liquor in the Saudi government. And lastly, Shafat, the most important thing for tomorrow's case with the Azan, which is the precedent, I think we will talk about it more in depth just now, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed. You set the tone, and I like your analysis of where you look at Americans. I mean, they are warmongers. They're looking for war all the time. You know, they run the armaments industries of the world, so they need war to keep that money flowing also, but at the misery of mankind. And as you said, even that Armenian war, Armenia and Azerbaijan, it's like, you know, Muslim against the Orthodox Christians, and now America jumping, all of us are jumping in there because Russia is pro-Azerbaijanis and so forth. Well, talking about this Isopingo Azan appeal, and I'm just going to read this small article that I got in front of me, and we're going to discuss this in length with you, Ahmed. The legal team are arguing the Isopingo Azan appeal case this Monday, that's tomorrow, 19th September 2022. in the Supreme Court of Appeal. A request has been made for special duas for success in overturning the undue restrictions on the azan placed by the Durban High Court. The case will have a direct bearing throughout South Africa on the calling out of the azan. Its successful outcome is critically important to us. The legal team representing the appellants, advocate Rafiq Bana, senior counsel advocate Riaz Itzikin, and attorney Ashraf Parak. And, I've seen, I'm looking at the screen here, and there is a message here. Guess from who? Ahmed, you won't believe it. It's Sabir Ahmed Jazbai, who's listening to us. And he says, Shafaat and Ahmed Parak, my prognosis, even though we have been sidelined by a hostile groups, no court of law will uphold that judgment. We live in a suburb, and just as we must tolerate other religious practices, society must tolerate our practices. And well, that's a good point indeed. But the starting point is, Ahmed, this azan issue, even building of masajid, has been deliberately, in most cases, opposed by this one party. And you know the color of the party. And the person that opposed the azan in the Zapingo Beach was from that same party. And he's, part and parcel of that party that, some may call them Islamophobes. Ahmed, you can lay the foundation, you can talk to us, because who better than you, because you were called too during the initial stages of when this azan issue came up. Go ahead, Ahmed.
Shafaz, from the very beginning, what transpired here, in fact, when this matter was first, to bring it before court, obviously summons has to be served on the recipient of the complainant. Now, when the summons was served, the problem that we face in our community and in our institution, they give work to lawyers to do the work for us. And some of these lawyers, they got good intentions, but they are too busy to take on religious work. And you know what? I say openly today, to all our religious organizations, give to a reputable lawyer who will be able to deliver for the community. What transpired here, Shafaat, it is sad. A precedent has been already set. It's coming to about almost a year and a half or 2 years now. And, in some cases, because of that Durban precedent of the azan, in some cases, they have already stopped to give azan in some of these masjids because of, they say, you have already, you cannot give azan. There's a precedent. They're using that as a precedent. So firstly, if a lawyer hasn't got the time, the institution should take that matter and give it to a lawyer who is got time and can do the work properly, number one. Number two, do not give it to a lawyer who will use a Nasara, a white advocate or junior white advocate to fight our case, because he doesn't understand our Islamic laws, the Sharia laws of the azan, how Hazrat Bilal, when they gave azan in Medina Munawara from the minbar and everything, they don't understand. Now, because this thing was not done properly from day one, that's why we in a position today, and tomorrow we have to go all the way to Bloemfontein, the appeal court and to fight. But alhamdulillah, one big advantage we got for tomorrow is we got Rafiq Bana, we got Riaz. These are all tried and tested advocates who knows the law, who can interpret the law, and he will fight. In the very first incident, we should have fought the case on the pretext of right of our constitution, the right of religion, and right of culture. That alone should be our first step. The second step should be we should have went around the area of Spingo Beach immediately preceding to the masjid where the Azan was taking place, go and do affidavits from all those people, sign a petition. All that should have accompanied to that case when they were fighting our case in the very beginning. So we shouldn't have been in this position today, Shafat. That is the problem that we are faced with. But I'm very confident that Rafiq Banga and the senior team now we got, inshallah, I think we will win this case here tomorrow. And obviously, judgment might take, they might reserve judgment and they might take 2-3 weeks before the judgment is given. Or, worst case scenario, if this thing goes against us, we will take it right up to Constitutional Court and we can win this case here because, from what I've just underlined, if you take the churches, you know, in Musgrave, I hear when I go like 10 to 12 to Masjid, and you know, I sort out the parking and all for Musgrave, and you'll hear the bells at those three churches at 12 o'clock exactly, bang, the bell is going on. So what about that? So that is also a disturbance. So this is the thing we have to make sure that whenever there is a case pertaining to anything about our deen, give it to the right people who knows the hadith, knows the Quran. We should have went to an alim, brought the text from our Quran, why the azan have to be given. All these things should have been compiled before it went to court in Durban High Court, and we shouldn't have been in this predicament today, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, you make a good point. You talk about you know, the different types of religion. You get the churches. I mean, every Sunday you can hear the sermon in certain churches. You can hear them in the different civic centers singing loudly. You can hear you know, Africans having their prayer meetings, and they have the drums beating, and they, you know, they're quite vociferous and louder, maybe more louder than the azan. And you find that the different rituals are being performed on the seashores of the Indian Ocean. You find them driving through your area with drums beating and all that. No one, people actually tolerate that. And then you find people in your in these same areas where the objection comes, people playing loud music till midnight. No one tells them anything about that. But when a beautiful azan is given, you know, Allahu Alam, maybe the shaitania in the person can't take it. But a second point to talk about here, Ahmed, is we say that, you know, objections of a building of masajid, the objection to the azan, predominantly comes from a certain party, and they have a record. If you do a survey and you look at the history, the statistics will show that they are the ones that are very vociferous in the objections. Talk to me about that phenomena, Ahmed.
Shafat, you brought a very, very valid question. Our own people voted for that party. Our own people, if you go to Spingo Beach, is who's the councillor for the councillor? He's a DA member. I'm bringing it open on air. He is a DA member, and our own people voted for him. If you go to Chatswood, Phoenix, is only DA. Every ward was won by DA. And who is voting? And it's our people. They're saying, no, they can't vote for any other party because the DA is tried and tested. But they don't realize what DA is who. It's a Yahudi party, and they still got that mentality in them. Shafat, you can, you know, I'm saying this on air, that this is what is happening. And our people voted for them. For what? And today we got this. Where are those people voted? What they did about it? Why they didn't go to the councillor and tell him, you know what? We voted for you. How can you do this to us? This is the problem that we face with. Therefore, I'm saying we must make sure whoever we vote, make sure we vote for the party that is the right party. And must check it out first. Do your due diligence. Who are the main rakis of that? Who is the president of that party? What their standpoints is? Whether they will go, they will fight us on our religious basis or not? All these things must be put in place before you go and vote for anybody, Shafat.
Ahmed, I'm looking at a message on the screen, and it says, Brother Shafat, Assalamu Alaikum, I'd like to remain anonymous, and maybe I can give my viewpoint. Most of us voted. Yes, we were told we were making a mistake. But remember the background to that. We had just come out from an insurrection. We had come out from looting, stealing. Our lives were in danger. And this was the only party that gave us hope and said they will protect us. And this is why we did this. perhaps we should look at each scenario and each scene in its context. Please comment, Ahmad Tarak. Well, you know, that's actually a mitigating factor. And your thoughts, Ahmad?
Shafat, whichever way you look at it, there was other parties there. In Spingo, Action SA was there, there was IFP was there, there's various other parties all stood up for election. But why this brother is saying, because of the looting that took place and everything, they think that DA, what have they done so far? Give me one valid point that they're only protecting for themselves and nothing else, Shafat. They're not interested in anybody else. They only want the vote so that they can sit in council, into parliament, to say they are the second, they're the major political party in the country. That's it. They're using us, and that is the actual fact. You know, there was a lot of other parties. Why would that brother one say, no, the mitigation factor is that this is the only party? No, there was other parties as well. In fact, we should have been much better off if we brought in other that vote should have been won, especially Spingo Beach should have been won by our. Or if you only take all our Muslim votes and also all our Muslim people in Spingo Beach registered, we don't need anybody else, no other party or nobody else. We could have walked that council. That what should have been won by a Muslim councillor, because Spingo Beach, you shouldn't have to go to Spingo Road for anywhere else. You could have won that ward outright, because you only needed under 5,000 votes, and you tell me you don't have 5,000 people in Spingo Beach can get you the seat for Spingo Beach, Lotus Park, and Spingo Hills, and all that area. I can't believe that, Shafat.
Umar says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat, Brother Shafaz, and Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair for hosting questions that maybe can get you all hot under the collar. But I want to tell Ahmad Parak, if you look at the Jame Party and even Action SA, y'all are small parties, y'all are not big parties. DA is an official opposition. That's why we decided to make a plan. Ahmad,
let me correct that brother there.
Yeah.
If you brought Al-Jamaa or Action SA and you voted for us, we could have had a coalition government in Itigwini municipality. Because he's saying now he gave the seat to the DA, we couldn't even form a coalition. We could have formed a coalition and we could have knocked the ANC, because ANC got 96 seats and 24 seats is EFF and 74 seats is with the DA. If we brought the numbers of DA down and we brought in our the smaller parties, and we could have knocked ANC, we could have had a coalition government, and we could have given service delivery to the people of this city, Shafat.
This message here says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. I know you very well. You are a wonderful man. You actually doing Action SA a favor. Your Herman Mashaba is a dictator. Ahmad, things are getting hot in the show here, Ahmad.
No. Shafat, you see, when you talk the truth, it hurts. And Herman Mashaba is not a dictator. He's a businessman. He runs things as a businessman, and he's not corrupt. That's the beauty part of this whole thing, Shafat.
Well, you heard that. He says he's a businessman, and he's running everything according to. You know, I was there was this article by this, the Jewish Bolinia. I just can't recall his name, but he actually he said, Footsack ANC, and Cyril Ramaphosa must go, and he called him funny names and so forth. But he actually complimented your leader there. He said, like Herman Mashaba and people like him should come to the fore. He complimented Naledi Pandor, Thuli Madonsela, and so forth. And it seems as if Herman Mashaba has got a support from not only some of the African voters, but also a lot of the white votes and the other votes, maybe Indians too, are looking forward to him becoming an official opposition and so forth. What's your thoughts there, Ahmad?
Jawad, you just knocked the nail on the head here. We will be, Action SA will be the second biggest party in the country come 2024. And the brother said, I'm doing Aman Mashaba a favor. We're not doing Aman Mashaba a favor. We are there to make the city, to make the country right. And there's only one way is to clean it and make it right. Take the scenario of what they what your our favorite CR wants to do. He wants to fight public prosecutor. She won her case, but yet he wants to bring the chapter 9 and then the section 193 that he can have he's got the power to resuspend her. You can't do that because, and you know what? She wants to investigate the Pala-Pala issue, and that is the problem. So these are the things that what happens in politics, Shafat. You will go and do things. You will use the system of parliament to do what you want to do. So the problem is there is only one way to clean South Africa and to give better facilities to our community. You have to have a change. And the days for the major party in this country is history. It will have to go as coalition in the country, and that is it. There's no other way, Shafat. It is, you know, there's a lot of political parties from this country went overseas to go and see how coalition works, and they are bringing that system here. It will have to work because the major political parties, their days are numbered, Shafat.
Yaqub says, Assalamu alaikum, my brother Shafaz. I can't believe what a powerful show this is. Jazakallah khair. May I ask the Honorable Ahmed Tariq, what is Herman Mashaba saying about Palestine? What is Herman Mashaba saying about India? What is he doing for the Muslims that are marginalized and that are under oppression in China, the Uyghur Muslims? I haven't heard a word from Action SA about that from its leader. Ahmed, your response?
Shafaz? Our policy is very, very simple and very straight, upright policy we got. Wherever there's oppression, we stand with the people of that country. We will stand with Palestine because end of the day, it is our brothers and sisters of Palestine. We will stand everywhere. In fact, wherever is oppression, he will stand with it. And our party has made that very, very clear.
Tell you. You heard that. Ahmed made a statement. The party makes it clear. Anyway, there's oppression. People are under Zulum. He's a party or his leader will stand for that. Yes, Ahmed, let's move on. Hey, I'm not taking any more of those questions. No, Boniface. Let's go down. Yeah, that one there. Ahmed, we noticed that there is these hijacked buildings in Durban, but we believe that there is a turnaround. We also own some of these buildings, Ahmed. Please, how do we reclaim our buildings? Give us some idea. Ahmed, that's a question for you from someone I don't know, maybe overseas also.
Shafat, these buildings were hijacked buildings and all. There is a special task team, and we're cleaning them out. We're taking them out, and we're going to the owners. We're coming to you. That's your building in Prince Edward Street. It's run down. It's been hijacked by Joe Slope or whoever it is. We're telling you, you know what? Shafat, this is your building. We will assist you in getting that building, those hijacked people, those people who have hijacked your building, get them out, and then you make sure you get that building cleaned up and all. We want to clean the city up. That's our policy.
This question says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I would vote for you and maybe your party because in our town, we notice a lot of dead bodies. Foreigners are killing each other. What do we do about this, Ahmed?
Shafat, this killing is a major, major problem in our country because the floodgates of foreign nationals are coming left, right, and center. Every border is open because you look after that guy there at the border. You pay him, he'll bring you in. And then you pay at another border post, he brings you in. That's the problem. Even now you'll see people coming from Pakistan, Bangladesh, everything. That, you know, previously they went and beat the system. They're saying they're not coming to South Africa, but they're going to. They take a plane from Dubai. They will come to Joburg, to Oar Tambo. From Oar Tambo, they go to Lesotho. Then from Lesotho, they go there, they spend maybe 10 days or something, and from there it's easier to come through to South Africa, and yeah, he's already camped in South Africa. This is, now we're saying, okay, fine. The system has been changed. If you go there, you can't come back. You can't. You the ticket, we got a policy with our in SADC that if a person came to from Dubai to Lesotho, you make sure you Lesotho government, now you, it's your responsibility. He's finished his 14 days duration to stay there. You send him back. So he can't come away into South Africa. So this is the biggest problem that we are facing. With there's so much, if you have to analyze it, to say we got 55, 56 million South Africans, we say. But there must be about 20 million only foreigners. And from that 20 million, only maybe 4, 5 million may be properly documented. The others are not documented. And that is a big problem for South Africa, because you cannot service the infrastructure. These people come here. I feel sorry for them. They come here for greener pastures, fine. But the problem is they work here. They only pay the rental. They buy food. And every cent, they don't pay any taxes or anything like that. Every cent is being sent back to their homelands. There is no money that is staying in the country. So in other words, this is not doing any good to South Africa. That is the problem. If you come here and if you are registered, you are properly documented, and you have to be registered with SARS, you have to pay your taxes and all. We don't have a problem with that. And that is our standpoint with Action SA. We want you to be documented, and I don't blame Dudula, because their own people, yeah, in our own people in South Africa, are unemployed because it's been taken out. The jobs are being taken away by all the foreign nationals.
Well, I must tell you, mashallah, beautiful evening. With that, we have run out of time. Your parting words?
Shafat, we must make dua tomorrow, inshallah, that, you know, the case is going before the Supreme Court of Appeal. And I'm very confident, inshallah, we'll win that case. And it will make it easier for all the other institutions in South Africa, that it mustn't be a precedent set that now we cannot make azan from the speakers and then call the people to as-salah.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful week ahead. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I tell you, really mashallah session there with our very own Ahmed Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.